let's begin. It's very late. Pasuk Yud Goresh Leitz V'Yetzei Parak Chav Beis Pasuk Yud Goresh Leitz V'Yetzei Madon V'Yishbay Stim V'Koloin. The Pasuk here is advising us to drive out the Leitz. When the Leitz has been driven out, then Madon, quarreling, ceases to exist. V'Yishbay Stim V'Koloin, and Din, judgment and shame will cease. Okay, so Pasuk Yud, according to the Mitzudos, Pasuk Goresh Leitz, Goresh Mimchoes HaLeitz, V'Yetze HaMeriva, drive out from you the Leitz, V'Yetze HaMeriva, Kiderech HaLeitz, L'charcher Riv, L'charcher is to stir up strife and quarrels. It's a very interesting idea that this Pasuk is telling us that the root, at least according to the root of all strife and disagreement and machloikis comes from Leitzonis. That's a very interesting idea. I don't think that's the way we think about it. Why do we fight with other people? We don't hold from them. You don't value things that they cherish, and because you look down, the essence of a leitz is someone who is mevatel, who lowers and makes nothing out of things which other people consider to be important. And when another person gets a sense that what I value, things, ideas, and things that are very precious to me, mean nothing to you, that is the beginning of machlokes. That's a very profound idea. Again, the average person, I don't think, would look at machlokes, the source of machlokes, in those terms. V'yishbois din v'kolon, then the Mitzvah says, V'yishbois oz yivutal din v'kolon, at that point in time when the late ceased to exist, and din means quarreling, fighting, and shame, ki kishayir riv yigshu l'mishpa, because when there's riv, when there's a dispute, they right away, the first thing they do is go to court. V'yirivu levazze zezeh, and then one thing leads to another, it gets ugly, one party disgraces the other party. And if there is no stirring of din, if there is no litzanis, then all of this would not have begun. Okay, according to Rashi, the pasuk very similarly refers to Yetzahara Goresh Leitz, telling us, okay, we have the Mitzudos, Pashup Shat, get rid of the person who is the Leitz, remove him from the room, remove him from the community, and there will not be any machloikis in the community. Rashi says, we're not talking about the community, we're talking about a person himself. Remove the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is the ultimate Leitz. The Yetzer in Madon, and then there will be no internal strife in the person's neshama.
Get rid of the
Yetzer Hara. And Pogabal Menuvel Zem Moshcheu Lebeis HaMedrash. There's techniques. You have to learn Mesilas Yesharim, Shari Tshuva, Chavis Lvavis. All the techniques that are out there to get rid of the Yetzirah, that's what one should do. That's according to Rashi. Get rid of the Yetzirah. According to the Medrash, third interpretation refers to an Isha Ra'ah. It refers to a bad wife. Okay, look at the Medrash says, Omar Segemara in Mesech Divamis, not that long ago, Daf Samach Gimel, in the Daf Yomi. Omar Rav Isha Ra'a Mitzvah Legarsha. Dechsiv, it says, Goresh Leitz V'Yetzei Madon V'Yishbo Estin V'Kolon. It says, the Leitz refers to a wife that does not appreciate her husband. That's what it says in the Gemara. Okay, then there is a Medrash. The Medrash says, who's the subject of this pasuk of fourth interpretation? Medrash, the subject is Lot. Lot was called the Leitz. Vayihi Riv Bein Ro'ei Mikne Avram Uvein Ro'ei Mikne Lot. And because there was this dispute, so what did Avram say? Avram says, he pardon me alai. Em hasmol emina vim hayimin asmi'ila. Out. So Avram was mekayim this very pasuk, because being that there was a riv, there was a dispute, exactly to the pasuk, Avram viewed that the problem here was that Lot was the late, or his shepherds were late son him. They did not value the land. What would it mean in this context? The Medrash doesn't explain, but seemingly what they did not value was that the belief that the land already was given to Avram. That was the machlokes between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram. The question was it gezel? According to Avram, Avram felt that the land was not yet given to them. The promise has not been fulfilled. Therefore, at this point in time, to let the animals pasture, it's gezel. The shepherds of Lot said, no, it already has been given to Avram, and therefore, it's our land. We're allowed to pasture upon this land. So, Lot did not hold from the words of Avraham. Avraham's opinion was nothing in his eyes, and therefore that's what brought the machlokes, the Madon and the Riv. Avraham said, it's time for you to leave. They separated, and then the very next pasuk, this builds into the next pasuk, which we can go to right away. Oyev tahar leiv chein sefasav re'eyu melech. According to this medrash, this full interpretation, the melech here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that point in time, when the late separated from Avram, Hashem was able to show his chiba to Avraham. Avram, and that's what the next pasuk says, Vashem omar el Avram, acharei hi parin lot ne'imo. After Lot separated from Avram, Hashem spoke to Avram, I'm going to give you all of these brachas. The Mefarshim comment, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait until Lot separated, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avram Chiba? The answer is, as long as Lot, the Rasha, as long as this troublesome person was in the vicinity, was having influence over Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot show his Chiba. So that's why here this pasuk says that now that one has removed the Lates from his presence, now Oyhev to Harlev and Chain Sefasav Re'ehu Melech. Re'ehu Melech means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his friendship, the king shows his friendship to the individual who loves a pure heart and whose lips are Molei Chain, referring to Avram, a continuation of the previous pasuk.
Is it a Kriyan
Aksiv? A Kriyan, yes.
What's the difference? Read me the difference between the Kriyan and the
Kriyan. There's a Vav. The only difference is the Vav.
But the Kriyan is the same like the Aksiv.
I don't know. See, my edition is the Kriv Chsivs are all messed up in this edition. They don't even. Let me go look at the better edition.
The R and Tar is two different.
Yeah, but
there's a different Avav.
The Siv is the Har, and
the R is the purifying.
So what?
Tar is pure.
Yeah, but if you look at all the Kriv,
the difference between purify and pure.
Without the Vav, the word is
one is verb, but one is.
Okay, I don't know.
One is a noun.
Occasionally, the Mefarshim tell us that they dash in the Kriv Chsiv. Here, I didn't see anything. I did not come across. Garesh Ohib Tahar Lev. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see anything. Okay. Let's go to the next. Okay, this pasuk. Pasuk get off in the midst of the stuff. The Ohib. Me, what is it? This is a very hard pasuk to translate. And basically have to translate it. You have to basically translate this pasuk backwards. Re'eu Melech, this individual is the friend of the king. Who is this individual? The beginning of the pasuk defines who this person is. And according to the simple interpretation, he has two qualities. Number one, he has a good heart. He loves people. This person, he loves people who have a good heart. And number two, he speaks, his words are molei chen. He speaks with chen. So this, misha oyev ish tohar lev, an individual who loves to befriend other people who have a pure heart, mibli sig avon, the people that he loves have no impurities of sin. V'yehav es, and furthermore, v'yehavi. Now, according to the mitzvahs, the word ohev also goes on the second part. He also, this individual, loves people who have chen sefasav. V'yehav es mi sheyesh chen beimrei sefasav al kibedasi darei, because these people speak with knowledge, with intellect. Hine, behold, such a person is the best friend of the king. Hine hamelech mechabdoi, the king will give this person honor. Ki chen derech hamelech lechoy v'anoshim keila, because the derech of kings to like people like this. And I think the Ralbag, I saw this in the article, explains something from the Ralbag, that the reason why a king loves these type of people is because the king is jealous of these people. Why? Why do people like the king? The king doesn't have any real friends. I told this a number of times. Bush, George W. Bush said this, is that when you become a very powerful person, you have... What?
It's lonely.
You have no real friends. Anyone that tries to befriend you is because they want something from you. You have no true friends. So a king is lonely, and therefore a king wants. You always want what you don't have. What a person, this person is a wholesome person. A person who is oev to harlev, a person who is oev chen sefasav, is liked for his own qualities because he cherishes things that are real, that are wholesome, and there is no incentive. Why this individual who is a friend or is a lover of other good people is recognized in society as being a wonderful, wholesome, good person. And people like him, lishma, because he can't do anything for you. He doesn't have power, he doesn't have wealth, he doesn't have anything to offer. He is liked because he's just a good person. You like him because, and why is he a good person? Because who does he get along with? Who does he like? He likes other good people. So he's a ringleader among good people. The king, who is in the position of authority, and everyone comes and bows down to him, senses deep down, no one really could care less about me. When they come, my subjects bow before me. When they give me honor, and they do all of these things, they don't really hold for me. They're doing this because they want something from me, because the cameras are rolling. That's why. But this person who sits over here at the end of the world and is a person who has friends, he's an oyev to harlev, he's an oyev achin sefasav, and he has a chevra of people that care for one another. Ah, I'm jealous of that person. I want to be like that person. That's what he really senses that he's missing. That is pretty much what I think I saw. I think the Ralbat says that interpretation of this pasuk. Now others learn, another mahalik is, Barbanel says, okay, the article quotes the Barbanel that says, who is this pasuk really referred to? Yehoinasan. Yehoinasan and David. Yehoinasan was the heir to Malchus. Shaul was the king, and Shaul said to him, what are you befriending David? David's a threat to my Malchus. You're supposed to be the Melech. When I die, what are you befriending him? But Yehoinasan said, he didn't listen to his father. There was an ahavas nefesh between Yehoinasan and David, ad kedekach, that Yehoinasan basically acknowledged that you, David, you're going to be the next king. So we have here the oyev to harlev, chein sefasav, the one, Yehoinasan, who is the one who loved David. David is the tahar leif. David is the one that had a pure heart. David is the one that is chein sefasav. He was the noyim zemiros Yisrael, the mechaber, the composer of the most beautiful mizmarim. He was the one that, and who loved him? Yehoinasan loved him. This Yehoinasan was the Re'ehu, the Ahavas Nefesh of the Melech, the one that ultimately would become the Melech forever. David. Zera David, the Malchus of Yehuda, V'loyosu Shevet Yehuda. What? Yehoinasan. Right, Yehoinasan, the Melech here is Al-Shem Ha'asid, according to the Barbanel. If I'm reading it correctly, the Melech refers to David. David is the Melech, because David was the one that will ultimately receive the Malchus, ki lo yasur shev Yehuda. Yehoinasan was the friend of David. And who was Yehoinasan? The pasuk in the beginning of the pasuk describes the midos of Yehoinasan, but in turn we learn about David. See, it's circular. Yehoinasan was a person who was an oyev to harlev, who loved the pure of heart. Who was the pure of heart? David. David was the pure tahar leif. David was the one that was the chen sefasav. This person was the re'ehu of the melech of David HaMelech. That's how the Barbanel puts a twist on this pasuk. Very interesting. It's not a medrash. See, it's interesting. That's the Barbanel just says this kedarkoi. Kedarkoi. He's not afraid.
He really was.
But the Barbanel, you know, he that's his nature, his perish. He's very bold.
Yes.
He just, if it's not a medrash, so I'll make it a medrash. I'll make it by brute force. Say someone today, you couldn't say this. You want to say the pasuk is...
Sorry, he always said, this is it.
This is it, right. He, by brute, whether you like it or not, I'm telling you, shot in the pasuk. Right, that's the nature. It's a very typical example of so you know, you talk about Soloveitchik, Meir Soloveitchik's brother. He has a brother's name is Ephraim. He has a younger brother. He's going for a PhD. He's writing a doctoral thesis on the Barbanel, on the Jewish history and the life of the Barbanel. So he's really heavily steeped in the Barbanel.
Messianism of the Barbanel?
No. There's no messianism of the Barbanel? Yeah.
What?
The messianism. He wrote a Mashiach.
Yeah.
Well, he added tremendous answer to the Christians, he always would say. you know, you say he's the son of God, or you say he is.
No, but when he went, when he escaped,
it's one or the other. They said his father is God; he's not the Shem Yehuda.
Okay, let's see over here. Rashi pretty much just says the a little bit of a twist. The king over here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oyev pasuk itaf in Rashi. Oyev tohar leif chen sefasav ni shesfasav chen. A individual who loves others who are pure of heart, an individual who loves other who speak, who lips flow with chen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves this person and cherishes this individual. So it's very good, a good way. It's a very deep pasuk. The way to get close, the way to gain friendship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to befriend and to love people, good people in this world. Attach yourself to the tahor leiv. Attach yourself to the chen sefasav, and that way you will have a back door to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will become the re'ehu of the melech.
It's not enough to be tahor leiv, because the opposite of a leiv means you have to use chen sefasav.
Flattery.
Words.
What? Yeah.
A leiv, we say, uses his words as a cynic.
Yeah.
To be the opposite of a leiv.
You have to have chen. You have to have chen.
Chen sefasav. It's not enough tahor leiv. You've got to go and.
So you're suggesting that Pasuk Yud Aleph is the direct complement to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud is the Gorish Leitz V'yetzim Adem Yishwa Stin V'Koloin, but instead of the Gorish the Leitz, who is driving away? Instead of distance yourself from the lace and exchange, bring close the tahar leiv and the chen sefasav. So indirectly we learn that the tahar leiv and the chen sefasav is the opposite of lates. And instead of having machloikis, modon, and din and kolon, three very powerful words in the previous pasuk, which refers to the yetzahara, the satan, the malchamaves, instead when you'll befriend the people that are the opposite of the lates, you'll merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to your aid. So it's very good. These two psukim, Mamash Yud Yud and Yidav, they seem to parallel one another. They fit very well together. Next.
It's not din.
It's right. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the friendship.
Right.
It's like on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we use the word Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom HaDin. We blow the shofar. Usruas Melech Bot. What's the entire pasuk? The pasuk in reference to blowing the shofar is Teruah. And Teruah comes from friendship. Usruas melech bo. The friendship of the king is bo. That pasuk is used very often on Rosh Hashanah. Teruah. Teruah is the mitzvah's hayom is blowing the shofar. Teruah and Teruah means friendship. Why do we need to come onto the friendship? May you make a drasha because of this pasuk. Here we have in the first pasuk yud. We have the yetzahara. We have the satan, the malach hamavis. All of the forces of evil are gathering against us on yom hadin. We have din, koloin, modoin. These things are taking place. And what do we try to do on Rosh Hashanah? We blow the shofar in order to gain the friendship of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, Usruas Melech Bo, which is synonymous with the words Re'ehu Melech. So on Rosh Hashanah, we banish the Satan and the late son in the Yetzirah. We blow the shofar to show that we want to bring close, to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and be from those who are the Oyev to Harlev and the Chen Sefasas. Okay, Pasik Yud. Okay, by Derech Agav, these psukim, we're not going to go into details, but basically the Gemara, the Midrash, the Medash, and these psukim, who is an example of one who is an Oyev to Harlev? Avraham and Moshe. Avram and Moshe, they are called people that were miyuchin in these midos. They're psukim, which are not really on this topic. Goes on the topic a little bit, so we'll leave it with that. Pasuk Yud Beis.
Moshe's one name, Re'ehu?
Moshe's one name, I don't know. I don't think so.
Re'ehu? Who's referred to as Re'ehu?
Yisro. Vayishak ish le'ehu vayavo l'sham. They kissed each other. It says there ish by Yisro and Moshe. The pasuk says one ish l're'ehu. So maybe ish. Who is the re'ehu? I think it's a good drasha. Who is the ish? Who is the re'ehu?
Right.
Ish is Moshe, and the re'ehu is Yisro. So Yisro was called the re'ehu. Okay, let's go to pasuk Yud Beis. Ini Hashem not through das the salev divrei vaygate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards knowledge and he perverts words of treachery. Now this pasuk means pasuk Yudbeis Eini Hashem Hamakom Yashkiach B'Shmiras Anshei Hadas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees there will always be the Anshei Hadas, people of knowledge, the Aves LeKalkel Divar Eitzas HaBoger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will corrupt, the Aves will steer off, disrupt the words, the counsel of the treacherous. Asher Yidaber, who speak Lilkoit Anshe Hadas, who are always speaking words to trap the intelligent people, Lo Yucha Lohem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow them to succeed. Pasuk is telling us very profound indeed that in the big picture of things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately guarantees that the forces of good will prevail over the forces of evil. Right? I'm sure you've ever written a good novel. Read a good novel or watch something you should not have been watching, and you always have presented in these the forces of good and the forces of evil. That's such a concept that exists in this world, and many times the forces of evil have more power, but yet there is a mitzvah built into the bria, is a koyach that in the long run, not in the short run, but in the long run, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pasuk here says, Einei Hashem Notzru Das. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards. He guards knowledge. And knowledge, according to the Mitzvah, this here means emes. It means correctness, yashus, and the salef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately will not allow the world to exist in the state of divrei voyged, words of kilkel. Begida is rebellion, corruption, and harm, treachery. Let's see what it says in Rashi. There is no Rashi on this pasuk, and I don't have any in the midrashim. So let's go to pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, so let me just see if I got something over here. No. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Omar Otzel Arivachutz Besoch Ruchavos E Rotzeach. A lazy person lives in a delusional world, a world of fantasy. And he really believes that if he walks out into the street, there's a lion out there that's waiting to murder him, to eat him up. And that's why he says, I can't go outside, I can't work. I can't work, it's too hard, it's too dangerous, there are too many obstacles. This is the nature of an otzel. The otzel says there's a lion outside. If I walk into the street, I will be murdered. Let's look at the mitzvah pasuk Gimel Amar Otzel Ba'avurcha Atzlus. Due to his laziness, Lo Yetzim Pesach Beis, he doesn't leave his house last night. Malach to do his malacha. The Yibadim Libo Lemar. He fantasizes. He fabricates in his heart nonsense, saying Haloi Harib Chutz. There's a lion outside. The Yitref Nafshi. It will eat me up. It will rip me apart. Ubesoch Rechavo Sayyeh Nirtzach. And if I walk in the street, I will be killed. Min Halistim. So Nirtzach Erotzech over here is a second point of the Mitzudos is not by the lion. Erotzech means by listim. There are two different forces. There are natural forces and there are human forces. There are two obstacles. Number one, I don't have the natural talent, the ability to accomplish, because a lion represents nature. There are wild animals out there that are beyond my control. And then there are listim. Listim are human beings that are trying to cut me down. That's how the listim
explains that all the way out in the fields, further where the animals roam.
Yeah.
Excuse me. In your backyard, you might have, but we're in the streets where there's a lot of people, the animals don't come.
They don't come. So there you have to worry about people.
God, that's what he says, Amar Otzela. But the Yerushalmi, by the way, says that he's not lying. He's not, it's Belishim Guzma.
He believes.
It's really true that if you go out,
you go out far out into the distance.
But he says, it's how much do you want to do the mitzvah?
If
you
want to
do it,
you'll find a billion excuses. And if you want to accomplish, you'll accomplish no matter what. Okay, so here Omar Otzabavur Ha'atzlos Lo Yetzim Pesach Beis Olasos Blachta V'Yivod Milvo V'Loimar Haloach Ha'Ariyah B'Chutz V'Yitov Ad Nafshi V'Sech Ha'Ruchavos Eye Nirtzach Men Alistim Ha'Mutsuyim Shon Rashi Pasuk Yud Gimel Omar Otzal Ariyah B'Chutz Eich Eitze Lulmoy Torah. Rashi Kedarko interprets this pasuk in reference to learning Torah. He's too lazy to learn a Daf Gemara because it's too hard. It's too hard. There's a lion. A lion. No, I don't have. Please tell me. I don't have another. What?
I don't know.
It doesn't present it here in this sefer.
But
no.
It's there's a whole series of excuses that he makes up
to avoid going out to learn. He doesn't go out to bring him out. Then he has another excuse and another excuse. And it's a whole story.
Okay, I'm not familiar. I don't have it here. Okay. I have two from Medrash.
Okay.
I have a third sefer. I should really prepare from the third sefer as well, but I primarily use for the Midrashim part. I use these two article quotes. I use the article and the Mamloes. They also occasionally quote a different Midrash that I don't see here in these two, but these two are pretty thorough. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudal. Pasuk Yudal is a very famous pasuk, and a lot has been said about this pasuk. Shucha muka pi zorois zuum Hashem yipol sham. Okay, shucha muka means a pit. A deep pit. Oh my gosh, he's calling me. Rabbi Zwick. I just hope he's I'll take it during the break. I hope he's not canceling. Okay, what? I should answer it?
Yeah, answer it.
Okay. Nimamakim. Okay. Shucha amuka pi zaros zuum Hashem yipol sham. Okay, according to the parish of the first of the mitzudas, pasuk shan the pasuk. Shucha amuka means a deep pit. Pasuk gidal shucha ki chafira amuka asher neifel ba, a deep pit asher neifel ba kosher lo lalis. You fall down there, no one's coming up. It's not easy to get up when a person falls in this pit. Kein hu hanilkad be pituye pi zaros. Mitzudas opens up an interpretation to this pasuk. His interpretation, which we're more familiar with the Gemara's interpretation, but he says the pi zaros means the apikursim who are desperately trying to be mefate, to sway, to entice a person to go off the derech. There are people looking out there, and they're trying to pull you in. So anyone that follows is enticed by, through the pi zorois, the mouth of strange people who speak words of apikursis, will descend into a shucha amuka, into a very deep pit that will be very difficult to come out of. And zu'um Hashem yipol sham, so one more time the words end with hu hanilka be pituye pi zorus. What is that? What are the pi zorus? This is an expression that refers to haminus apikursis. Asher yikshem od lifrosh mimena. Once a person gets trapped into apikursis, it's very hard to remove oneself. Zu'um Hashem, then the pasuk continues. A person upon whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, and Hashem wants to die, who nichshol bo will stumble, his eyes will not be enlightened, he will not realize. That's a very shocking thing. What it says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Sudos, is that there are people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up. He sets them up to fail. Isn't that what it says? Mi shahashem zomel of a chavetz b'misas, a person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to get rid of, who nichshol ba ki lo yohir enof, his eyes will not be enlightened. B'tchila sapiti, when this apikoros begins to speak to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not give him the seichel, the insight, lahavin, to realize that he's being fooled. Lahavin sichlus hadavar, the foolishness of following the sway zuchazavav and the lies of this person, and will allow himself to be swayed and fall into this pit, because this person is zu'um Hashem. That means there's such a thing that a person, there are people that are, it's a very strange thing. We never would expect that a Kodesh Baruch Hu would set up a person that he should become an apikoros. Person has bechira chafsh, do whatever you want. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu will go out of his way to let him come into contact with a person that should influence him to do averus. That's very bizarre. So I don't really know if we should take, we have to really require further bear what exactly the mitzudos means.
Person wants to go.
Right, he wants to go. But here it seems there's Zu'um Hashem, the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at. So Hashem doesn't like this person because he did in the past Averos. He did terrible Averos. So Hashem wants to knock him off. So Hashem could just bring an end to his life, or Hashem could not bring upon him good. But here it seems to be saying, according to the Mitzvah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go out of his way to bring him in contact with an apikoros, and the person should be nichshol in minus, so he should stumble further and further, and he should die in apikoros, and should suffer even greater punishment in Gehenna in addition to his previous sins also for the apikorosis. That's a very big chiddush. to say such things. Is that really what the Mitzvah Stavit means? Maybe I'm not reading it right. Maybe a Rash, of course, that Rash is holding Mahalach. But the Mitzvah
agrees with that.
That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will set up a person.
Yeah.
A person who is
not gonna, there's no hope for, in other words, God will let.
But it's not that there's no hope. Look at Paro. Paro Vayechabed Hashem Etzlei Paro. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make him a greater apikoros than he already was. Paro was a Rasha. Paro caused great sorrows to Klal Yisrael. So you're a Rasha. So you'll die a Rasha. Your nation will be destroyed. Your family will be destroyed. Your firstborn will be destroyed. But we don't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking Paro and making him into a bigger apikoros than he already was. We don't find that. You're an apikoros. Mi Hashem Asher Eshmal B'Kolo.
Exactly angered or triggered Hashem's anger.
Okay, right. And Echanami, so requires.
If this is his natural inclination, then he'll.
So let's say this person caused many people to go off the derech. He was a very evil person. He was an apikoros. Would you expect that the punishment that he should suffer is that Hashem should make him become even a greater apikoros? So he should sink deeper into Gehenna? Mm-hmm. Is that what you would expect? Is that what
the shot is that we,
Right. But doesn't say we make him a greater apikoros. Okay, that's one thing. There's no hope that Hashem's going to save him. But here it's the Mitzvah is saying something further.
Right.
I'm not reading the words correctly.
Yeah,
the Mitzvah is saying, Misha Hashem Zomala, the person upon whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, the Chofetz B'misasa. So you would expect Hashem will right away, okay, you'll die. No. Hu Nichshol. Ba, he will stumble in minus. He will stumble in apikorsis. Ki lo yohir eina b'tchila sapitu. He will not be enlightened. He will not be enlightened when someone tries to persuade him. Lahavim sichlus hadavar u'b'chazavav, and to realize the foolishness of apikorsis. So maybe just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give him siyad d'shmaya. If this person by chance will come across an apikorsis, being that he is an avarion, he will not be granted siyad d'shmaya that he should be spared from stumbling in minus.
Well, that's part of the translation on Alti Tzadik Harbe that he says also. You back yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
And it drives you further down.
Okay, but it doesn't seem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't actually make a person go out of his way to make him worse. It just means Hashem will not create him with siyata shema that he should get better. Okay, so this is the interpretation according to the parish of the Mitzudos. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Gedal, Shuchamuka, Pi Zoris, Pi Oivdei Gilulim. We're referring over here specifically to people who are Oived Avod Zara. They will descend into a deep pit. They are called.
Why do you use the term hardened his heart? That makes him worse. Why do you have to say that?
Hashem just hardened his heart not to allow him to see the emes. Doesn't mean Hashem made him worse. Paro was so evil, it was not fair that there should be a gil, this ultimate revelation where it's too easy for him to do tshuva. So Hashem just maintained the status quo. Hashem hardened his heart and he maintained the status quo. But it doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him worse. You until this point in time said Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kolo Yidatei Yes Hashem. So now, when it's obvious that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, there are Makos B'Choros and Ten Makos Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem says, "I'm just going to maintain. I'm going to harden your heart to maintain the status quo, but I'm not going to make it worse. I'm not going to go and put into your mind Machshavos of Minus Apikorsis to make you worse. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not do." A person that's Bechira Chavshis. And if a person abuses Bechira Chavshis, Hashem will deny him Siyata Deshmai that Hashem would normally grant other people to lift themselves out of a difficult situation. Okay, but over here it's seemingly the same idea. Over here he's saying over here that a person who's an Apikores, a person who's a Rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to grant him the Siyata Deshmai to recognize the foolishness of Apikores, and if he happens to come across people that want to persuade him to become an Apikores, he will. Hashem will not intervene.
Interpretation of the Makos, what you were asking, the difference between Vayechazak Lei Paro and Vayechazak, is that for the first five that he did it on his own, he is punished. How is he punished? Vayechazak Hashem as Lei Paro, that's part of his punishment, so that he could affect the final punishment of the Makos Bechoros and the Yamsuf. That's how it leads up to it. Now the payback is I'm going to harden your heart as the, you know, the punishment for the first five that you did it on your own. You deserve punishment.
Okay. Okay, look at Rashi. Rashi says something totally different. Rashi says P Zarus P Oivde Gilu, the mouth of the Oivde of the Zara Zum Hashem Mit Shakalish Baruch Hu Soinai V'nich Shalba, person that Shakalish Baruch Hu hates, a person that stumbled in of the Zara, he will fall into Gehenim there, Sham into the Shur this deep pit, Zum Nozuf Milafanov. Zum means he is excommunicated from before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so this it's similar to the interpretation of I shouldn't say that. We have Mitzudas, we're talking about a person that's been nichshol in minus. And we have the parish of Rashi, we're dealing with the Zara Mamish, and then we have the Gemara, and the Gemara has an entirely different twist on this piece of this pasuk. The Gemara must have the Shabbos Taf Lamed Beis. I'll read the words: the Gemara Amar Rabba Bar Shila Amar Chisto Kol Hamenabel Es Piv. We are discussing a person, a regular Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, but he has a loose tongue. He speaks Nivel Peh. Things that are not should be said. This individual will have a special place in Gehenim. Shenemar Shuchamuka, a deep pit. Shucha means Gehenim. P Zoros, not for the person that was swayed by the pitui of the apikoros. It means P, the mouth that speaks strange words. Strange words here means apikorsis. Rav Nachma Yitzchak Omar. Worse than that, he interprets the end of the pasuk. Not only will a person who speaks nivel peh go to Gehenim, the people who listen to the nivel peh will go to Gehenim. Af mi shoymeya v'shoysek, a person that listens and tolerates nivel peh, shenemar zu'um Hashem. The pasuk includes those that are angered by Kadosh Baruch Hu yipol sham. What is the repetition of this pasuk to teach you that the people that listen and tolerate to this type of talk also will fall over. That's a very problem today, listening, finding kosher entertainment. It's one thing, a person is very careful, doesn't say nivel peh. But today, the standards among in the secular world of television and movies, the nivel peh is not of oyim. And just listening to this type of talk obviously makes a roshim on a person. The Gemara is very sad. The Gemara talks about a kala. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph continues. The Gemara talks about hakol yoidim. Everyone knows why a kala walks down the chuppah. And anyone that opens up their mouth and says something has a special place. Even if it was meant to be, the person should have 70 years of bracha. Shak and Gemara, immediately when he makes a dirty joke at a wedding about the kala, those 70 years of bracha are nishapich, the 70 years of whatever, of klal, or the bracha is taken away. So basically, what the Gemara is telling us in a very nice term is, if a person makes a dirty joke, that's what it means. How else do you term the Gemara? A person makes a dirty joke, even if it was meant to be to have 70 years of bracha, all that can go away like a puff of smoke. Now, one of the very, very shocking things to me, see, I'm just talking from my own observation. Baruch Hashem, I grew up in yeshivas, in a family where there are certain words you don't say, and they're not even nivel peh. We're just talking about certain sensitivity towards language. Today, when you go online and you read some of the blogs, and we're talking about some people who claim very clearly that they are the Gedolei Hador, they make no mistake about it, and they know better, and probably 70% of what they say is really in line with everything that we've been raised and believe in. But yet when there are abuse issues in society, when there are marital issues in society, the language is shocking. The language is so explicit. And it's shocking. It really is shocking. And it's not necessary. They can get their point out the same way, with the same toikif and the same whatever they want to say, they can say the same way without the explicit use of language. What do they do? I don't know. I can't speak for them. I don't know. I don't think Gedolim. They claim. There are two things that I always. This always bothered me for a long time. There's a certain blog. I'm not telling you what it is. I'm not going to guess. A certain blog, and there's a certain speaker. and they're both very popular. They are definitely from the modern, what they call themselves, the very modern Orthodox world, and they're very critical of the yeshiva world. But a lot of the things they say, a lot of the people in the yeshiva world readily admit. People in the yeshiva world, I mean, they all say, you're right. But you know, we have problems, and we're working on it. But yet, when it comes to the language, it's just shocking. And you know, I don't know, personally, I didn't grow up like that. And Chazal tell us that one of the things in the Mitzrayim, the reason why they were zechut to the Yitzias from Shleishinu es Lashoinam, they did not change their language. Now, does that mean that in Egypt, what does that mean, the Shleishinu, they spoke Lashon Kodesh? Is that really what it means? I once heard a darshan said it's not necessarily what it means. They spoke. Look, are we worse than them? In Chutz Liaretz, we speak English, speak Yiddish, Hungarian. Every country, you speak your own language. What it means is shloishimnas l'shoina means just because the media, the secular world, when they report about an issue, they report about it in their vocabulary, their English vocabulary. When the same thing is picked up and it's reported, which is necessary, you have to know what's going on in the world, when it's reported among us, there's a different language. You can get the message out the same way without using explicit terms. Like, I'll give you one example. In certain Haredi worlds, they'll only say same-gender marriage. When they talk about passing laws and voting, they'll never say, okay, I'll say the word gay and lesbian. Years ago, I would never say such a word. When I was a child, you would say such a word, they'd wash out your mouth and you would say those two words. Today, yes, this is the way you talk today. But still in the Haredi world, they wouldn't say such a word. They would never see in a Haredi paper the word, those two words. They'll say same gender. It's a certain nikias haloshen. And there's something to it. You can't deny that there's something to it. Unfortunately, in a certain segment of Klal Yisrael, no. All the barriers are broken, and you have to. These are the terms. This is the way you talk. There's a pasuk here. The pasuk here says shuchamuka pi zoros. It's very scary stuff. A mouth that speaks strange language. It doesn't necessarily. We're not talking about nivul peh. Nivul peh dvarim pshutim. That goes without saying. It means things which are a little bit extreme. They say for Rav Shadron, there's always been an impression of me that when he went to the Beis Akisa, he called it the room without the mezuzah. That's how he referred to the Beis Akisa. Even the Beis Akisa is a term which you want to be have a cleanliness, you want to have sensitive. The Torah says, the Torah was ma'aki. What?
What's the euphemism?
Yeah, what? Okay, it's not, but look, the Chazal, we all know Chazal, the Torah was ma'ake, many words, ha-behei ma'asher einene tohoira. Ha-behei ma'asher einene tohoira. Instead of saying ha-behei ma'ateneya. There are different examples, of this concept. But this is definitely an extension of what it says here in this pasuk. It's a very frightening pasuk. Shucha amuk, a very deep pit, is a dog, and is prepared for pi zaros. The Gemara, not like Rashi, not like the Mitzudas, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, for a peh that speaks words that are strange, that are not sensitive, there is no sensitivity to kedusha. And not only does it apply to the people who actually speak like this, it also applies to the people that tolerate, the silent majority that is tolerant of this type of talk. It's a sensitivity. The advantage of a human being over all forms of creation is the koyach adibar. Vayipach be'apav, men was created with the words vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim. The Targum Unkelus, it's not even a Targum Yonasa Menuzil, it's a Targum Unkelus, says, what does it mean, nishmas chayim, a ruach mimalala, a speaking spirit. If the speaking spirit is a translation of ruach chayim, obviously the person's essence, his whole life depends upon his speech. And if speech is something which is loose and is not proper, obviously that's a very big problem. It's pizor zu'um Hashem yipol sham. Okay, pasik tes vav. Yeah.
Expression found often in the Gemara. Boros,
Shitin, Uma'oros,
which is often
a rectangular.
How's
it
mis-
Boros.
I think the majority of people call it
It's a shin.
No.
It's a siach umaora. So you say it's a shiach? Shiach or siach? I also mispronounce. It's a siach or a shiach? With a shin? Boro shichin. With a shin. From this word over here. Shucha shucha muka. With a shin. They mispronounce it with a sin. Okay. Vagamani b'saychan. Yeah. A shiach is a rectangular pit. There's a bar is a circular pit. A shiach is a rectangular pit. Yeah.
Good question. I mean, you know, I teach, and if you teach, let's say, in Yeshiva High School.
Yeah.
You teach secular studies.
Yeah.
Textbook you use.
Yeah.
Uses these terms that are not acceptable.
Well, you always have a choice.
A lesbian, homosexual.
Right. Right.
So what are you supposed to do?
Well, listen, that's today it's a different world. There's no choice. It became acceptable. I don't really know the answer. I really don't have an answer. There is there are now today new books. Article makes people don't know. Article has a division. You don't even know about this called TextWorks. TextWorks, where they must make a lot of money from this because they sell books, secular books for high schools, like English literature. When I was in high school, we had a great English literature book, all the classics, and probably 20% of the stuff in there was not appropriate for a yeshiva bachar for high school. So what do they do about it? Nothing. So when the teacher assigned that, we had assignments, so they never assigned those essays, those pieces of literature. And if you wanted to read it on your own, so no one's stopping you. So I'm sure there were many people who read these things and found them very interesting, and they were definitely not Torahdik. So what is the school going to do? They're going to go rip it all the pages? Where I went to school, not where I went, they didn't care. Yeah, buy a book on biology.
In those days they did.
No, they would not. They didn't do it in my. No one did anything. No one cared. Okay, yeah, you have in biology. So every biology book, it's on the Regents, it's evolution. Okay, every biology book has a chapter on evolution. It's on the Regents. Evolution. So some schools, even some yeshivas, they actually teach it, and they teach it, and they show you all the faults and all the problems. Some don't teach it. Some of them do teach it. It all depends. Every school is different. So now there is art school. They actually make textbooks. I don't know about the biology, but I saw the English literature book in Tarvad Das. I was very impressed. You cannot tell the difference between the art school English literature book and the type of English literature books that I used to have. The quality is the same, if not even better. The only difference is they didn't include those 20%, those stories that were not acceptable. That's the only difference. And now, what?
Most books have a copyright. No, that's...
No, they got all the copyrights. These are classics. These are...
Setting up the funds, what is the copyright is not on the...
Whatever it is, they got... And what I was told, I don't know, this is all second, third, and I was told that these books now are so popular, not by the Frum, by the Catholic Church. The Church, all of their schools buy these books. They make a killing. And, you know, they don't charge no art school gemara. You charge $30. It's subsidized. Someone's paying. What?
A Catholic printing house.
Yeah, they think that a regular art school gemara costs. You pay $30, $40, whatever it costs now. Who paying? If you go to Barnes and Nobles to buy a book like that, how much would it cost to buy an art school gemara? $150 at least. But for the textbooks, how much they charge? They charge $150, $200. You know who's paying for it? The government's paying for it. You're paying for it. Yeah. Taxes.
That's right.
It's the greatest business. Okay, I don't know if what I'm saying is true. This is what I was told, but I've seen the book in Tarvad Das. These are fantastic books. So that's one solution. Listen, I don't know, but this is something which...
There are plenty of creationist science books out there that aren't Jewish.
Okay, but this is...
They got the idea.
I don't know, this is the way, I can't speak for anyone else. I could just speak for myself. This is the way we were raised. There are certain things, certain expressions which are just not said. And they're not said because there's a certain, not because we're afraid of them, not because we're living in a ghetto and we're not aware about all the issues and the abuse and predators and people who are sick and things. That's narishkeit. To say such things is naive. All of the horror stories that exist in the world, unfortunately, exist in the Jewish world. And we all know about that. But yet, there's a certain kedusha. There's a sensitivity. Klal Yisrael are anshei kodesh tiyun li, and that with that kedusha comes a sensitivity to language. You don't talk about these things with the same vocabulary that is used in the secular world. And that was something that was dvarim pshutim ad ma'od when I grew up. And today, it is very shocking and disturbing when you hear how other people are talking, other mechanchim are speaking, and people who claim to be the mamash, the gedolei Yisrael, or how they're writing and how they're speaking. It's just very shocking. Ad kedei kach, you know, you're in a car with someone and with children, and one of you download a shir, download a shir from someone that you think is very very choshev, and all of a sudden they start talking about things. Okay, so we could talk about these things. Like, look, a boy in 8th grade learns Masechta Ksubis, learning Daf Yomi Masechta Ksubis. Okay, you know what it says there, Masechta Ksubis? Okay, this is something. And Bava Kamma, this is a very big issue. How do you deal with these type of things? Well, the first mission is like Ksubis. Besula, Besula. How do you translate for a boy in 8th grade Besula? A Be'ula. What is the... What? So there's a certain sensitivity. There's a mahalach. There's a derech. And this is all part of the Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li. And unfortunately, I don't know what's going on out there. I really, it's a frightening thing. People will tell me I'm out of my mind. But I don't think everyone in the room disagrees with me. Do you disagree with me?
No, I used to be shocked how my cousin explained it.
Yeah.
We had the big fight just now with the FJJ had on the top cover the pictures of Arnav.
Yeah.
People said we don't want our kids to see it.
Okay, that's something different. That's.
And I want
to. I don't think. Yeah.
I learned Pshat a little different. Surah Amukah, Pizaris, if someone takes a factual,
yeah.
and he changes it for political correctness,
yeah.
He deserves to go.
Aha. Uh-huh. If you corrupt Pizars,
for example, take
change the facts.
There are predators out there. Children, I don't care how old they should know about it.
Okay,
own kid to show them that he shouldn't go with strangers. Just last week, right? We know the story.
Yeah.
No, I don't know the story.
They took a little 6-year-old.
Yeah.
The parents sent someone to pick him up,
to kidnap him, to frighten him,
and to beat him.
Yeah.
And the police arrested them because.
And how did the world react to that?
I understand the parents. You know, I'm not.
Okay. To each his own. All right.
But if someone takes a thing that.
Yeah.
You know,
of course, I right away told you that's foolish. That's foolish. That's naive. Right. And any responsible parent, you teach your children. Of course, that no one's. My mother used to tell me horror stories. It went on Lower East Side before today. Everything today is in the media. The worst of the worst. Probably today it's a lot better. Okay, today every little thing is in the news. In those days, nothing was in the news, and what went on was probably a lot worse. And everyone knew about it. Also, everyone knew about it. But the way it was spoken about, you know, especially what became a terrible thing. Is in Yone Ishus is marital issues. It's years ago. It was. I mean, everything was very quiet. Today, all right. No, that also. But I'm talking. Okay. There are other issues. There was something in the media. It was something in the media that got a lot of attention in the media very recently, and even. I have a whole story. Someone in my family was involved in this partially. Okay, whatever this is, but I don't know. Listen, this is what it says in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Shuchamuka Pizara Zum Hashem Yipol Sham. There should definitely, I don't know, there should be some degree of sensitivity to these matters. Pasuk Tes Vav. Now, by the way, just to take issue with you, Derech Kavod, about Kedoshim. I think that's an entirely different thing. I think about Holocaust, to see the violence, the pictures of the Kedoshim and Har Nof on the front cover of the newspapers. There was a whole Tadam about that. Yeah, that I think is a separate issue. That's different. When I was young, they used to show us the Holocaust. They used to show us a lot of very graphic images. When I was very, very little, that was probably like the tail end of when of like the old generation when they were still focusing on the Holocaust from a different perspective, from witnessing it firsthand. And it was there, and I was once married to Shaw. We went to museums. They showed us the most graphic things, and there was no issue. Like at the same time, when they wouldn't say these words, at least where I grew up, they wouldn't say these type of words: gay, lesbian, homosexual. They would not hold back showing children the skeletons and the most horrific images of what happened during the Holocaust. So obviously, kedoshim is a different type of issue. Okay, let's go to pasuk tezvav. Iveles keshura belev nar shevet musar yarchi kenda mimen. Pasuk tezvav to the David. Iveles keshura davuku b'maser aveles. A foolish person is keshura davuku b'maser hiveles ki ilu keshur beliboy. Foolishness is tied to the heart of a person. As if it's tied to his heart, his foolish actions. The actions of a foolish person are tied to his heart. He really believes in what he does. A foolish person acts with foolishness out of sincerity. I will shave it. What is the solution to such a person? I will shave it. Hamiyasa yarchik menu as evelis, but the rod of the one who gives musr, the mechanich, will distance the foolishness from his heart. Now, according to the Medrash, I saw this was referenced to a bar mitzvah boy. Because Chazal tell us that the Yetzirah comes to a person when he is born. The moment he enters this world, he already is given the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah Toy first arrives when he's 13 years old. So the Yetzirah has 13 years head start. And the only way to get rid of that Yetzirah is to beat him up. To beat him out of him. I don't know what they'll say about this today.
Well, that's what Rabbi Pendel used to say, to beat the Yetzirah.
To beat the Yetzirah.
That's what you do when you're hitting. You beat the Yetzirah.
So that's what it says. It says here, it's the Lev Nahar. The Nahar here refers to V'hine Nahar Boicha. Okay, it doesn't mean a Yeled. It doesn't mean an infant. It means someone under Bar Mitzvah, a young man. And the young man, the Yetzirah, it's in his heart. It's not just something you can just give him a pat on the hand, and say you're a good little boy. It's the Yetzirah is very strong and passionate, and it requires serious measures. Shevet Musa, the only way to get rid of the ivelis, the foolishness that's tied in the heart of a young man, of a boy under Bar Mitzvah, is with the stick. The Shevet Musa Yachikel Mena. And it's advocating hitting children. That's what the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Uraf. Yeah. Okay. Let's see over here. That's what it says here in the Mitzudas, and that's pretty much what it says in the Medrash. Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. What was pasuk? Yeah. Well, on a simple level, it does. What else is a shevet? You want to say verbal? You want to say musr?
Sharp
musr. Yeah. Shevet musr. Okay, sharp, whatever it is. Today certainly doesn't mean to hit. Today, if you hit your child, you go to jail. Don't pass go. Pasik tes zayin. Oishek dol harboy slow, no sin le oshir ach le machsar. Scary pasik. Pasuk talks about people who, first part of the pasuk is the person who robs. Oishu means to rob the poor man. For what purpose? Laharbo slow, in order to increase for himself his own wealth. Let's take a look over here in the Mitzudas, in the Mitzudas David pasuk tezvav. Oishu dol dov diber behoive. It speaks in what is common. It's common for the poor to be the victim of theft. Because the poor can't afford security guards. They can't afford complicated, sophisticated alarm systems. So they are always subject to being robbed. Diber behoive. The rich do not allow others to steal from them, because they are very strong. So here it says, people who rob the poor, laharbo slow, and what are they robbing the poor for? Because they think that by robbing the poor, they will increase their own bottom line, their own wealth. Laharbo slow, b'chasho, they fool themselves into thinking, shebezeh yisra b'chayinai. Furthermore, what else do? They give tzedakah. But who do they figure that it says in the Torah that if you give tzedakah, Hashem will give you back 10 times more. That if you want bracha, you have to give tzedakah. So who do they give tzedakah to? To people who don't need tzedakah. They give tzedakah millions of dollars to museums, to baseball stadiums, to all these foolish things, not foolish things, but things that don't really need the money. Things that are there, much more important things that can use the money. And they think that by giving money to these organizations, they're going to be recipients of the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all the brachas in the Torah that you get, you'll get nothing in return for this type of tzedakah. You have to give tzedakah to where it's needed, where you get the most bang for your buck. That's what the pasuk concludes. No sein la'ashir, v'chein ha'no sein matan la'ashir, one who gives a gift to a rich man, meaning a person that doesn't really need your money, ach l'machzar, you'll never get a return on your investment. It'll only be for a loss. B'shnei eila, these two things in the pasuk, lo yavo yisra, you will receive no benefit. Ki imei chasaron b'ashrei, all you will come from these two is a loss of money. What do you mean? Ki agezel, if you rob the poor to increase your bottom line, guess what? Hashem will take away that money. And in fact, that money will be poisoned. It will poison all of your other money. You'll be left with nothing. Ki agezel ye'ovet. Odesh shalom. Not only will it be destroyed, it will destroy all of your own wealth. When you give la'asher ba'atzmo machzer asher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you give your money away to the rich, the people that don't need the money, you will cause a loss to your own wealth. The hamakim are the key words. The hamakim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yimale hachesaron. What is lacking? Ki lo osa mitzvas Hashem b'matan hahu. Implication is that if the money you give was tzedakah, you are worthy of receiving reward and getting the money back plus a lot more. But if the money you're giving is to a person who does not need your money, then you're not worthy of that bracha. So you're not getting anything back in return. And not only have you not getting anything back in return, you've lost your investment. The money you've given away is just a loss. This pasuk is an open mussar. You should be very careful to who you give your tzedakah to. If you don't, you give money, you're giving money to tzedakah, you're getting the money back. But if you're giving to people that are not worthy of receiving the money, then you're not getting credit for the mitzvah, you're not going to get the money back. You're just wasting your money. One time in the pasuk, Oshek Dol, robbing the poor, Laharbo slow. In order to mistakenly believe that it's going to increase your wealth, or no sin l'asher, giving your hard-earned money to a wealthy man doesn't need the money, both of these things, achar only, l'machsar, will lead to nothing but loss. Rashi, osher dol laharbo slow, osher, to increase your own wealth, or no sin l'asher, soif shenoisim emoyne lo'ovid gilulim, hashirim, v'ach l'machsar. Rashi has a different interpretation. Rashi says the two are not related. Rashi says that if a person is oshek dol laharbo slow, guess where that money is going to go? The money that you steal from the poor will ultimately find its way to oivdei avodah zara. Whole different interpretation of the pasuk. It's a curse. You rob the poor, you think you're going to use that money for your old age, for your security. Got bad news for you. That money will be taken away by force by oivdei avodah zarah. Soif shenoisim imoyne lo'oived gilulim ho'ashirim, to the oivdei gilulim ho'ashirim, they're wealthy. Notice that the goyim always seem to be wealthy. V'ach l'machzor huba, only came into your possession. It was only l'machzor huba. It only came into your possession for as a loss.
Does it mean,
yeah,
according to this, that he will end up giving money?
Yeah, that's what it says.
They will end up taking from him.
No, it says no sin. It's even worse. It's a curse. He'll actually give the money. Oyshek dol, if you rob the poor, laharbo slow, to increase your wealth, the curse is that one day you'll give a donation willingly to the donation to the rich. Oyvdei avodah zarah. Noisin la'asher ach l'machzor. This pasuk, this idea, Rashi reminds me of the joke. I think it was Belkin. I heard this from Rabbi Kefet. I think he said it mentioned. I think it was Belkin. He once met with the Pope. I don't remember which Pope it was. This was before John Paul. It's going back a long time ago, and they were both. And he said to him that we both have something in common, but there's still a major difference between us. We both wear yarmulkes. The Pope wears a yarmulke, and we wear a yarmulke.
Yeah,
but we both represent institutions. The Pope represents the church, and I, the rabbi, represent Yeshiva University, Yeshiva. The difference is your yarmulke is red, but your institution is in the black.
Right.
I wear a black yarmulke, but my institution is in the red. So here it's. So here, it sounds better the real way. I didn't say it the right way, but here it says, and look what it says. It says no sein le'oshir. You rob the poor laharbos lo. No sein le'oshir. Rashi says the oivdei avodei gilulim. They're always in the black. They're always no sein memoina le'oivdei gilulim ashirim. The oivdei avodei zara. They always have money. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll take a 10-second break, and then we're gonna learn a little until Rabbi Zwick comes. We'll learn a little bit.
Going to bench. You watched, right? You say no. I can join. Go ahead. Hello.